Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi guys, and welcome to this week's Snogcast. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, do we have a treat for you this week.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. How long have we been waiting for this?
Yes, for so long we've had bad internet connections, delays on Zoom.
Oh, if we had another Zoom, I don't know what I would do.
I just think, like, Zoom, everybody has Zoom fatigue. Partially the reason why we haven't recorded in pretty much a month.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, there's no doubt about it. But we're almost here. We are almost here.
Stay with it, folks. Stay with the fucking world. Because coming to you live, unfiltered, just like we like our lagers,
is this week's Snogcast.
Brought to you with a very unique, genuine, unedited, unfiltered. Guess what? It's legit. It's here. It's in person. It is a glass clink.
Yes!
A glass full of beer. Two glasses full of beer meeting, joining together like a fucking fusion of beauty. What a fucking occasion. It is the first time since either January or February 2020. Who knows at this point? And I tell you, that is 15, 16 months. It felt like 15 or 16 years that we are sitting across a table, fucking glasses full of beer, in person, recording a Snogcast.
Fully vaccinated.
fully vaccinated, not a mask in sight, as per government guidelines. Yeah, guys, we're here, we're in my new home. My new home in the southeast of Ireland, in the glorious southeast of Ireland, regardless of what the weather's like these days. We're three cans deep. We've got a fucking stellar show lined up. The Pilsner Prowl is back. Not that it ever went away, just we went away. We've got a few topics that hit to the heart of the Snogcast that you'll all be delighted to hear about. And not only that, but it's in fucking person.
Do you know what? This is timed out so well, right? So before we tipped onto this tonight, I was like, I'll throw up an old tweet or something. And Twitter has like this new thing. I don't know if you've seen it. Like, it's like Twitter Spaces. So like you can host a live conversation with, like, you can, like, we could start a live conversation, and I think we could say that we're the hosts and that people can like live tune in and listen to us along with it. Or you can have it that like people can like join in and they can speak and add to the conversation as well. Or you can limit whoever who comes along, right? So I was just like, God, maybe this is an idea. But DJ, you have no Wi-Fi whatsoever here.
Well, that's part of why we haven't recorded in the last 4 weeks, is because moved into a new house, have no Wi-Fi. And because it's like in rural Ireland.
Yeah.
We just about got a phone line at the moment and we're looking to get some old school broadband.
So we're on the dial up here now. Yeah. And yeah, no, it's working well, but it's so good to be back. Jesus.
Oh, and do you know what? Like, the thing that I think is very hard to get across in a podcast, especially what was initially a pub-based podcast and became ultimately a craft beer podcast via the medium of Zoom for a while, and hopefully this is it finished now.
Mm.
the thing that like was killing me was an awful lot of our rapport and playing off each other. And like, Jesus, when we were back in the pubs with our friends, some of our early episodes with some of our good friends, is you play off each other's body language as much in the conversations. And it, I like, obviously you can't transmit the body language onto the podcast, but I think it added to our reactions to each other and stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You just don't, you just don't fucking get that in Zoom, like, you know.
Yeah, I think as well with Zoom that it was one of those things where like you had to be kind of polite about it and like make sure that everyone spoke their turn and that like you couldn't interject, because like if you interjected, like it was one of those things where like there might be a delay in it. Yeah. And that, like, I don't know, it's just real awkward, isn't it? Like, but
you come across as right dope as well if you're like, well, I know, but like it's, there's a 2 second delay, and then when it, you actually play the recording back,
yeah,
you just feel like a complete idiot. Or even like if there's four on the Zoom call, like we tried to keep it to three for a good while because the fourth person just caused chaos. Yeah. In terms of trying to steer the conversation. And as well, like, say if we're recording in person, you can just throw the hand up, like, you know, whereas throwing the hand up in a Zoom call, like, sure, I'd be fluttered in the chair and like people would be trying to get my attention and I'd be looking off into the distance. I wouldn't be able to see like on the screen, you know.
Yeah.
Big change up for the books. But I have to say, like, the Brits are back in the pubs.
Bastards. For more reasons than one.
We're gonna not to give away some spoilers later on in the show, we're gonna look at Pint Watch.
Yeah. She's back on the agenda.
Back on the agenda with a bang. And I have to say, I was thrilled, actually. I haven't been on social media much the last couple of weeks. Just been too busy. But I kind of, like, fluttered on to social media the other day. Actually, do you know what I did? I went on to see, I listened to the Irish Beer Snobs interview with Gráinne and Tim from Metal Man. Great episode. I highly recommend people go and listen to it. Wayne and Janice interviewing the two lads in Metal Man there. And I kind of was like, I just kind of happened to pop on to Instagram to kind of like make a comment or something. And I think I forgot to make the comment because Metal Man popped up on the feed. And they had something along the lines of like, great to be supplied, to be kegging for local venues again. Which obviously hits home to us, because if they're kegging for local venues, they're kegging for
our venues.
Our venues, yeah. Our pubs. The Philly Grimes, the Grady's Yards, the Tully's. The J.K. Welch's, well, they wouldn't have Metal Man, but you know what I mean, the Henry Downs's of the world. And do you know what, like, we've lamented these pubs for so long, but now that the tip of their glasses, that condensation of cold pint in the glasses that Tom Ryan washes by hand is back within our grasp.
Oh.
I'm fucking sad. I'm actually, hold on, I swallow me saliva because I'm salivating at the thought.
Here, let's keep this for the rest of the show, but I know, I'm fucking jittering.
So we've actually given ourselves the ghoul and jig before we've even started.
Yeah, this may sway some of our Pilsner prowling.
Yeah, and but that's the thing, and like we're on the Pilsner prowl tonight. We're going to actually, because we've missed out in a couple of weeks now, we're going to try and do a double header with the Pilsner prowl.
Yeah.
We're going to try and catch two Pilsners in
one prowl.
Two Pilsners in one prowl. It's going to be a little Pilsner crawl.
Yeah.
Which will be very, very good. And as well, the thing that we have is normally when we're recording this, since the Pilsner prowl started, we've been doing it on our laptops. Because we're in my house and you don't have your laptop, we don't have our little spreadsheet.
Yeah.
So we're going to write down the scores for this and we don't have a reference for the older ones.
So this is probably actually a better judge. This,
yeah, we're not, there's no prejudice here or anything. But I will say this, right? Let me ask you, it's a month now since we recorded. What's the best beer you've had in the month before tonight?
I really enjoyed Metal Man's, is it Big Molecular Clouds?
Giant
Molecular Clouds, even bigger than big.
Yeah.
Giant Molecular Clouds, really enjoyed that. And I also had a few American beers there for a while as well that were quite nice. Well, I can't remember any of their names or anything. But yeah, Jesus. And then I've just been getting really like back into like fruity IPAs and stuff like that in the last while as well. Like,
It's that type of the year, isn't it?
It's that type of time of the year again. Like, stout season is probably coming to an end, like, you know. But
yeah, I think stout season is like the rain in Ireland. It's never over, but
it's never over. No.
There's times of the year where it's less prevalent.
Yeah. Yeah, you want, like, you like a good stout. It's like a kind of a stew, like, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you like them during the winter, like, just to kind of warm the cockles, like, but...
But then there's a nutritional value to it that every now and then during the summer you need an owl.
Yeah.
You need an owl, a slap of stew, like.
Yeah, and, like, you know, there's something to be said about as well, about, like, getting, like, a good stout from a tap as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That, like... You know, the cans can only do so much for you, like, you know, but...
The same could be said for all beer styles, though.
That's very true, yeah. But yeah, probably Giant Molecular Clouds in the last while that I've been really impressed with, like...
Yeah, that's a good observation, because I actually have some Metal Man beers here in the fridge, and I haven't drank them yet. But I must tuck into them now this week. Because the one I've gone back to Metal Man a bit in the last while, because I do feel like early on in our podcast days when we were starting our craft beer journey, I think we drank some Metal Man. We kind of got into Metal Man first. And it was a bit like, I think my palate wasn't developed enough to appreciate Metal Man maybe 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I think it, like, as we were kind of saying about, like, the bridging beers and stuff like that, I think it was too far away from the macros or something at that time that... probably wasn't used to, like, the bitterness or the, you know.
Well, that's it, like, and I think, I think when I go back to Metal Man now, I think I just, like you say, like, I didn't have that capacity for bitterness or that capacity for the flavour profile to really fully understand it. So what's actually a very pleasant drinking experience, I just wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that, like, they've rebranded and brought out new beers. So now I'm like, right, I must go back and drink these beers again.
Yeah.
The older beers and try the new ones, which is great. Like,
speaking of rebranding, Dungarvan brought out fucking unbelievable branding. Like, that's such a neat, like, branding that they have. Like, just, like, one colour on the kind of white silvery can, like, it's lovely, like, really,
like,
nice.
It's consistent branding but with different colours for each beer, like, yeah. I really like that, and I like the simplicity of it, and I think as well, like I think we mentioned in the past, Treaty City's rebranding and bringing out a new core range and stuff, like, and shaking things up. Like, I think independent breweries have done an awful lot of thinking during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I've been like, right, like, they're attacking the new wave, hopefully, of local support.
Especially those who were bottle heavy before, that they've gone into canning ranges and, like, have had the opportunity to rebrand now that they've gone into cans. And it's, like, really cool. Dungarvan's really cool. And who else do I want to give a shout out to? Brehan Brewhouse. Their their cans are phenomenal as well.
They look good in that plint, don't they?
They do. They look really good, yeah.
And I think we've given plenty of praise to Wicklow Wolf. Now, they kind of rebranded maybe a year and a half ago now at this stage, wasn't it?
Yeah. But again, like, that consistency, the different coloration on each of them, and, like, then being able to, like, even step outside of that, but maintain the theme for their special brews, like, say, what was it, Call of Juicy, is it, or whatever?
Yeah. Like, the Apex range.
Yeah. So cool, like.
Yeah. It's interesting now, and it'll be, what I can't wait to see is when we get back to the pubs, and again, not to jump ahead too much, but I can't wait to see with all this rebranding, I can't wait to just walk into a Grady's Yard or Phil Grimes and see the new tap art.
Oh man, I'm a sucker for those aesthetics, like, they're so cool.
You have nice tap art, like Rascals were the masters of tap art, I think. Rascals and Yellow Belly were probably the best at the tap art, I think, before the pandemic. Like, that Flutropolis tap art, like, caught me for a sucker in Phillies.
Yeah,
like, you know, Yankee,
so bold, so, like, yeah, the font, everything on like, that Rascal stuff, it's class.
I could tell a Rascal's label without me glasses on.
Exactly, and that is tough business, like, yeah.
Absolutely. So that's it. But I think I actually had do you know what I had the other night, and it was absolutely fucking lovely. I came home after a long day in work, the bit in the farm, like, wrecked, tired. I was like, fuck it, I just need a settler now. And I went to the fridge, and you've seen my fridge, I don't know if you've seen the cupboard there, like, there's a heap of beer around, like, different bits. there was a Tola.
The
45-day-old Pilsner.
Oh, beauty.
In the fridge. And I pour, oh my God. And do you know what? The way it was at the right temperature, that it was maybe 6-7 degrees. So it was it was cold. Maybe colder than you should drink it at. But it gave that cold glass condensation when I poured it out. And I sat there and I was watching, I don't know what I threw on the television, because all I could look at was the glass and the can. And it was, if I felt like I was on my own in a quiet corner in a pub, sitting down watching the telly.
That to all, again, speaking of aesthetics of a can as well, like, fucking, I think we said it when we were when we were rating it on the Pilsner scoring scale, that it looks like a bag of porridge, it's just so cool,
and it tastes like the best of porridge.
Yeah, no bag of flavins.
Oh Jesus, I had flavins all day for that stuff.
It's absolutely
fucking mill it into you.
That's cool. Yeah.
It was nice. Just the one can did it for me.
What do you think now? Right, we're getting back into barbecue weather. Right, what do you reckon is the? This kind of links in as well. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to bring this in later on. Okay. I'm going to bring this later on, right?
Do you know what we're going to do? So let's jump into our first Pilsner Plow. So if we have to get through two Pilsner Plows, and we also have two topics I want to speak about. So I think, I see where you're going with the barbecue. I really like it. And I think that's key to the conversation later on. So before we go on, there you go.
There's the clink.
For whom the bell tolls. That's one thing you don't have in the pub. You don't have cans knocking off your glasses.
Yeah, I know. That's something, right? Do you think will can culture become a bit more now in pubs?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I will say this. I've just seen, we're going to talk about a beer, a fairly new beer. So this is, I'll come back to that in a second one, because I want to talk about Larkin's Brewery, which we don't see much of down here in the southeast.
No.
And we picked these up in the plint. It's a gluten-free lager, which I always like when a beer is gluten-free, because I know a good few celiacs who love beer. And this is from the Larkin's Brewery. And it's the Curious Society Pilsner. I have to say, talking about branding, I absolutely adore the branding on this can. You've got a little stag, a little fox, and a little hare, and a mouse. And the mouse is looking at the sky. The fox is playing with a globe. The hare seems to be, he's either doing some chemistry, or else he's putting salt and vinegar on a bag of chips. And the stag is reading the annals of Inish Fallon.
Yeah.
And they're in a wood. And I don't know, I just really like it. And I like it's a nice golden pilsner. They've filtered it all right. It's double filtered. I think I really like an unfiltered lager. I think it gives a great profile to the beer. But this is double filtered. But it is really, really clean and really nice. So we're going to put this guy through the Pilsner Prowl.
Do you know the crack with filtering, right? Is that obviously it's to get rid of
sediment and
shite out of it, right? So obviously if you're trying to market it with a longer expiry date, to keep it, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, because filtering is a purification process.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that's it.
Because if you're looking at these cans now, they have a best before date of 2022, which is quite a long time for a craft beer generally, isn't it?
Well, I suppose sediment could have some impurities in it. And I suppose it's trying to minimize the potential of the can to turn as well a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I have to say, as much as I love this can, it says down the side of it here, the future of tradition, which I have to say, is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. But that being said,
we don't.
The future of tradition is such an oxymoron. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
And I love the pregnant woman with the lion shower as well, which I presume is on all cans, but I've only spotted it there.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, hold on, I checked a few other cans.
Yeah, there she is.
Oh, she's on them all. Don't worry about it. Good advice. So that's the Prowl. Right, so the
Goon. Do you know that's on a lot of non-alcoholic beers as well? Because a lot of non-alcoholic beers where they do de-alcoholification,
yes.
Whatever, right, where they remove, like, where they make the beer and remove the alcohol from it. So, like, in those beers that, like, the beer is actually, like, 0.05%, yeah. They can't guarantee that it's, like, fully alcohol-free.
So it's a legal, like, yoke.
So, yeah. It's a legal yoke where they actually have to put the little pregnant ban on it.
The young pregnant one.
The little pregnant one with a crush to her stomach.
Right, so the Ghoulan Jig.
Yeah.
The Ghoulan Jig, which everybody will know, is, you know, how much does she get your shoulders going? How much does she make you want to fucking help?
Yeah, we were going there like fucking like 90 earlier on, like.
Sharuk, like, you know, we were here, the dog was going, we were going. Some ghoulins on the dog,
yeah.
So the Ghoulan Jig, we're looking at like 5 for 16, based on obviously our old favourite price and plan in the plinth, the 5 for 16.
Mm.
Rest in peace. If you want to learn more about that, you can go back to the RIP 5 for 16 episode of Snugcast. Great episode where we discuss how that's no longer an option.
Yeah.
Which will tie into our next topic. But the Ghoulan Jig, so basically, how many cans would you buy and what would you buy them for? Now, we bought 8 for 15.
Yeah.
It was a really good deal. Now, they were in a box, so that's allowed.
Yeah.
So it's a really good deal. And yeah, like, there's a lot I love about this beer. It's really clean. It's really crisp. There's a lovely little finish on it. But the Ghoulan Jig is kind of like, yeah, what would you... Getting you going.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you about this one, right? I had the first sip of it.
Yeah.
And then the second sip, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure about it. I wasn't sure on the first two, like, you know. And I don't know, like, would you mellow out with that attitude? But as I've gotten into it, like, I've gotten into it.
I tell you why I think it's suffering with us tonight.
Hmm.
We had a Bohemian Pilsner by Hope and a Keller beer by Yellow Belly before we started recording.
Yeah.
And we were talking before we came on here about how, like, even we put the Keller beer through the Pilsner Prowl, and actually, like, I don't know, I don't think we did it justice. Like, we don't have the results in front of us, I can't remember what we gave it. But, like, it was so fucking nice.
Yeah. Oh, it is phenomenal, like, yeah.
So I think it's a bit like we've had two absolute belters of beers before we started with this yoke. So I think it suffers a bit for that. But even at that, I think if we remove that...
But I think there was also a bit of, like... There was a bit of complexity to the taste and the smell and everything of it.
Yeah.
Beforehand, that, like...
You were really thrown off, though. You were addled. Like, I thought you were having a seizure at one stage. You were trying to figure out what the smell was.
I couldn't figure out what the smell was at all. So I was going through my mind, like, trying to, you know, when you're trying to get these kind of references in your head, like, what it is. So I went through and I was like, it's definitely not a drink that I'm tasting anyway. And then you threw a pine. So then I was going through, I was like, it's not really florally, or it's not really, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what was hitting me. I could get the note you were getting with the pine, yeah, all right.
But I was wondering, was the pine just the fact that there's pine trees out our back here?
Maybe,
and we were sniffing them earlier.
We did have our nose buried in a little pine, like, literally just before drinking. Yeah, like, so.
I was saying, did I get a few pine needles lodged back there?
So it could have been that. And then I was going, wait a minute, what is this? And then I asked you then, like, is there any chance that this tastes like a bag of rancheros?
You mentioned rancheros. And I looked at you like you had 15 heads. And then I took a swig. And, like, as I lifted the glass to my mouth, out of the corner of my eye, I spotted a six pack of King Crisps, which we bought because we wanted to try and replicate the pub a bit. And I just got that familiarity of when you have the little crumbs at the bottom of the crisp pack and you nick them back. But obviously, crisps use nitrogen because it's an inert gas to fill the bags. So they're packed with nitrogen so that, you know, obviously it doesn't, the food stays fresh inside them. And they're an aluminium kind of foil pack.
Yeah.
And then we've got aluminium cans and nitrogen as well to keep the beer fresh.
Yeah.
So I was like, sure, it just smells like you're down in the arse of a pack of crisps.
But it really smells like.
Yeah, it's really like, pronounced like.
Really pronounced like. So yeah, anyway, the Curious Society Pilsner Lager tastes like when you're tipping the end of a pack of crisps into your mouth.
And we're not saying that's a bad thing.
We're not saying that is a bad thing at all. So, right, let's go. What are we saying for the ghoul and jig?
So we're saying if you were to buy, and you can only buy a max of 5 cans, and you can pay a max of €16 for them.
Yeah, so we bought 8 for 16.
We bought 8 for 15.
8 for 15.
But that's not relevant to the scoring too.
Or is it?
No. So if that box didn't exist, how many would you buy and what would you buy them for?
I'd buy 3 for €8.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because I, so 3 for 8 is what? 366?
2, oh yeah, 3, yeah, 3.
No, 266 a can.
Yeah.
And I was going to say 4 for 10, which is 250 a can.
Yeah.
So I think we're in the same ballpark.
Okay, okay.
So we'll get you 3 for 8, we'll say.
Okay, grand, yeah. Write it down, chalk her down.
3 for 8. Down. Hold on, we have to handwrite these now, lads, because we haven't the fancy technology anymore. We're like the HSE. for anyone who doesn't get that, the Irish healthcare system has no technology at the moment. So the quivering quencher then. So if we remember back a month ago to the last time we did this, the quivering quencher is the reverse Richter scale. Mm. Where basically, what level of a quivering lip would this can sedate in you if 9 is 30 trillion tons of dynamite exploding?
Yeah. It's a bit more mellow, I think. Is it like it's?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think its strength is not its quenchability,
or its quiverology.
Yeah. Like it's no quaver.
No, like I wouldn't mind. Having a can of this watching Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, you know what I mean?
It's the worst Harry Potter movie, but I'd mind the movie that we're watching. I wouldn't mind the can, but I'd mind the movie. I get what you're saying, actually. I think it's a very relaxing can.
Yeah.
It's not a Friday after work can.
No.
It's a Saturday afternoon. When it's raining, can.
Yeah, when it's raining. Yeah. Like, if there was any whiff of barbecue going, I don't think I'd be taking her out. You know what I mean?
No, you'd be going for the killer beer or before it, you know. But if it's raining and you just want something, like, basically you want a few cans, but you don't want your wife to know you're drinking cans, you want her to think you're eating crisps.
Mm.
Like, this is the can for you, like.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. Yeah.
So does the mellowness of it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't quench it. Like it doesn't.
It's not a quivering quencher.
No.
It's a good can, but it's no quivering quencher. No, like, that's not a strong point.
No.
So
2.6.
I was thinking 1.9.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go for it.
1.9. It's just not a strong point, and that's not to put down the beer, but it's to put down the quenchability of it.
Yeah.
So the next one then is the post pint gasp.
Now, I actually had, like, when I finished off the end of the can there, and like the last little sip there, I was like, that's
Yeah, that's it. That's, you know, what is it? What is it? Because I literally just took my last up 30 seconds ago and I'm like, right, where's the next one? You know, I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Really ready for it.
There's a taste of more offer, like.
Yeah. In fact, hold on 2 seconds, lads, and we will go and get some more. Right, sure. Like, I mean, you have to really get a second can to know, does that, is it Bass or does it give a macro mode?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, right, I'm going to say what I think it should be.
Yeah.
I think that's Bass.
I think it is that, yeah.
That's bad. I'd hold the S's.
Yeah. Like, I'll go with it, like, you know.
Because it's a really good beer, but, like, when you consider the standard of the Eucharist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
I think I had a good finish with her, like, you know, like, and I think...
You start to pour, but finish strong.
Yeah, and, like, there was definitely, like, a taste of more of it, like, for, you know, I don't know, I definitely, and I think that the value of that thing was fucking phenomenal. Yeah. Like,
you can't, like, knock it, can you? Like,
what was it? 8 for 15. That's outrageous. So the next one then that we have is the Jibber. And we're scoring this out of 5. Five jibs. Now, there wasn't much of a head on it. It came out a bit flat, but...
It came out a bit flat, but there was plenty of aeration.
Yeah, plenty.
Because I was at the bottom of my glass, was still bubbling away.
Yeah, and there was a cool...
Oh, she was crystal clear.
Yeah, and she was just kind of like a cool mellow, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be one that you'd be ashamed of throwing out, you know. If you had Michael D over to the house, you know, you'd be, Michael D, would like... like, come to society.
You know, if you had a few people over, like... If you had Finn Dwyer, Michael D, and Todd Nassad's over for a few pints, you wouldn't mind throwing him an old can of it.
Yeah, look, sure, fucker, we'll give it 4 out of 5.
I'm happy enough with that. It was a lovely looking glass of beer. Yeah. 4 jibs.
4 jibs out of 5.
So, puckability out of 100,000.
Wasn't a pucker at all, was it?
I mean, we're talking about the greatest beer ever to grace the earth, like.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a beer that didn't grab us until 3/4 of the way through the first can.
Yeah.
So I don't think it can score high in the puckability. It's one that I will drink again.
Yeah.
But it's not one that I will choose over every other beer.
So...
87.
Okay, yeah. 87 out of 100,000. That sounds good.
That worked out really well. we were quite in agreement there, and I think, like, it's funny how on some beers we're absolutely the exact same pretty much.
Yeah.
And then there's the odd one.
Yeah.
The real odd one where we disagree. But I suppose on Pilsners anyway, we'd have kind of a similar palate. It'd be interesting to do this with a different beer style. And I'd love, do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to try this kind of thing out again, but with pubs and the beer on draft.
Yeah.
So I have a little table for, like, pale ales or something like that now. Every now and again, just throw. Do you know what Top Gear do the fastest lap?
Yeah.
We could do, like, the...
Fastest beer.
Yeah. The pintiest pale.
Pintiest pale of all time. And now I'm going to do something that we haven't done in a while, is that I'm going to pause the podcast over this. And actually, while I go for that piss, we can have a word from our sponsors.
And there goes another advertisement from the world of marketing. They truly are madmen there over on...
Wherever.
Town Avenue.
Acast.
Acast. The John Hamm of the modern age.
Yeah.
Right, guys. So the first topic we thought we'd speak about this week is one that was in the news.
The rattle of a can.
Right? Yeah. Is a topic that I suppose it came prevalent to the news really since we last recorded, because it became enacted, I think. And yeah, we talked about barbecues there. It really affects barbecues, and it affects, I suppose, it's just, do you know what? I think the biggest issue with this is it was a really shitty time to do it when pubs are closed.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Because it purely affects off-licence trade. And that is the minimum unit pricing of alcohol here in Ireland. We have, you know, I don't know the figures off the top of my head. My phone is recording this podcast, so I can't look them up. But we basically, there's new legislation in to change the minimum unit pricing of a unit of alcohol, which is basically a bottle. So even if you're looking at a box of 24 of your name, generic macro shite lager here, there's a minimum unit price of that. And I think I saw somewhere that ultimately, when the minimum unit pricing is enforced, and I think it's enforced now, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
Ultimately, like those cases of 24 bottles, the minimum they can go for is like 40 quid.
Something like that, yeah.
Essentially doubling the price of a case of beer. So I you know, and there's been many like tweets done and posts and newspaper column inches dedicated to this over the last while. And I think like there's a couple of issues with it. I find it kind of, first of all, it's the kind of thing that a government will bring in and they'll say, oh, it's to cut alcohol consumption because alcohol consumption is too high, blah blah blah, and they bring fucking nothing in to counterbalance that in terms of like addiction services, mental health services, or like, you know, psychiatric services in the healthcare system. So there's no counterbalance to say, like, you know, all these people who will now not be able to afford alcohol, or instead will spend more money on alcohol, neglecting other parts of their life. There's no support systems in place for them. But also, like, it disproportionately affects poorer people in society. I think there's an interesting dynamic to get into it in terms of with independent beer, it might actually increase the market share for them, which could be a good thing for you know, breweries that, yeah, we love, because ultimately the price that they have to charge for their beer because of like they have no opportunity costs or economies of scale compared to the big brewers means that they might be a bit more competitive because it won't affect the price of a can of insert really good independent brewery name here. So there's a lot to digest in it. I just think it's a shitty thing to do during a pandemic.
Yeah, I'm just really, like, I don't know, I'm really disappointed in it. Like, so yeah, as you were saying there, that, like, basically, the bringing in a minimum price for a unit of alcohol, and, like, the rationale behind it is that if you bring this in, then, you know, the price of cheap beer will go up. Hence where, you know, people won't be able to buy a crate of, or buy, say, 20 bottles of Heineken for 20 quid and drink all 20 bottles or whatever. Or even cheaper fucking Carpacci or whatever we're talking about, right? And I kind of get like the rationale behind it. Like, I kind of get like it's this kind of like mass drinking of like being able to like you know, put like a huge price, and like maybe as well for like, you know, cheap bottles of vodka and stuff like that, then that like your minimum pricing of that will go up and that you can no longer buy Tesco Value vodka for like whatever, 7 quid, like paint stripper for 7 quid, like, you know. And I do kind of get like that rationale behind it, but like,
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, it is also the thing of that those who are have a poorer socioeconomic background are now, as people have seen with like the increases in like cigarette taxes and stuff like that over years, whereby like actually like it didn't really reduce the number of like cigarette smokers. It was actually things like the quit.ie campaign and like the introduction of like more supports as in like patches and stuff like that, and referrals by GPs and pharmacists and stuff like that, that actually kind of reduced down the numbers rather than like pricing. And that actually people were just like, oh, now I'm spending, you know, €8 for a box of cigarettes, €9 for a box of cigarettes, €10, 11, 12, 13, 4, like every year. It was just like, oh, it's just going up. And now I'm spending like 70 quid a week as opposed to like 50 quid a week on all the boxes of cigarettes I'm buying. And I just feel that like if you were to buy a box of Heineken, or if you were to buy a bottle of vodka for like 7 quid or, you know, 10 quid or whatever, that like you're just going to buy it for 20 quid.
Yeah.
And like just be, and again, like that's those people with poor socioeconomic background, instead of getting supports and, you know, being helped along the way with this, are now just like having less money to spend on food and like money for their children and stuff like that as well. So it's just like, it's just disappointing that like it's brought in with like no, like I'd love if this was like, not even love it, but like if this was brought, I think I'd accept it more if this was brought in with like, and here's the alcohol awareness campaign, and here's, you know, and here's more education, and here's what we're doing to like bring this into like schools and transition years and blah blah blah, like
rehab facilities and stuff.
Exactly, you know. It's just like, here's, you know, here's our answer, money.
Yeah.
You know, like, where does that come out of, like,
but,
you know?
But the thing as well is, like, what pisses me off about it is minimum unit pricing has come in the same month that, you know, home heating taxes have actually gone up 12%.
Yeah.
So, like, all of a sudden, if you're an outlad on your own in a house, it's now costing you 12% more to heat your home because you're not going to get it retrofitted, or because you can't afford to get it retrofitted, say. So it's going to cost you 12% more to heat your home. It's now going to cost you almost double to buy beer.
Yeah.
If you want to buy the cheap beer.
Yeah.
Because you might be on an old age pension. Haven't worked your entire fucking life.
Yeah.
So now you're spending more on heating, spending more on that. As you say, cigarette taxes have gone up. If you want to smoke, you have to pay more than that.
Yeah.
It costs you more to drive to the off-license to buy the beer or the supermarket or wherever you get it. So like all these costs are driving up, and it's like, oh, well, it's only, we have to increase the tax on home heating oil because of climate change, but you're not doing enough to offset that. You're not retrofitting homes at a fast enough rate to justify
making it more affordable to do it.
Yeah, like, to justify making pensioners, students, people in the gig economy have to fucking heat their, they still have to heat their homes, you know? And then you're making the cost of a couple of bottles for them to go up as well, then, like, pretty much double.
So yeah, I suppose like that was my point earlier on with like barbecues. Yeah. Like, do you know, so every week we would go to the Plint or whatever, and we would buy a load of craft beer for ourselves, and
you see a load, like 3 or 4 cans.
Yeah, sorry.
Not 20. No, we're not buying 20 bottles of Heineken a week, you know.
No.
3 or 4 cans a week.
But like, exactly. So you're going and you're selecting and you're going, oh, what's new? What's nice? Blah, 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 right? Whereas like, if we were hosting a barbecue, that like, you probably would, like, you know, if you had all family and stuff over, you'd get a box of Heineken or a box of Miller or whatever, and you'd have that there. And like, that's great because like, it makes your, like, it makes the cost of it like much cheaper, of like being like 20 quid for 20 bottles or whatever.
But it's what you say, like family barbecue, like communion or confirmation, which you'd have here in Ireland a lot.
Yeah.
You know, baptisms or, you know, birthday parties, like an 18th or a 21st, whatever, that you'd have it if you had it at the house. Like, you know, what you do is you'd buy 2 or 3 of them boxes of lager, a box of cider, box of stout.
Yeah.
Kind of cover all bases. And then you've got enough beer for whoever's going to come.
Yeah.
And like the leftover beer will be tipped into over, like I have to laugh, like my parents would like do the typical Irish thing of like have more beer in the house than is like anyone could ever drink in a year at Christmas.
Yeah.
And then like when I come down then they're trying to give me a box of beer to take away with me. Like I think the vast majority of people are not like, you know, abusing these prices. The macro breweries are using it as I mean, the macro breweries are probably being paid more. Like the likes of Tesco and Dunstores, this big supermarket chains here in Ireland, are using these beers, these boxes of beers, as almost like loss leaders. Like, you know, if you buy 20 bottles for 20 euro, you're going to buy, you know, crisps, and you're going to buy chocolate, and you're going to buy, you know, fucking plastic cups or whatever it is, you know. And if you're having a barbecue, then you'll buy your meat here and you'll just do it all in one because you're going to get the beer cheap. That's kind of the thought process behind it. But I just think like, yeah, it's a shitty time to do it because it's the same time that you've got these other increases, as we said about the socioeconomic impact. Like it's like disproportionately affecting the poorer people in society who are disproportionately, who were not really benefited by the last budget in any way. You know, so then they're being badly affected. It's also then like, it's coming in, as you say, coming into what's supposed to be nice weather. It's not this week, but you know, it's coming into the season where those, you know, those deals are handy to people. And even like, you know, you look at a nurse, a teacher, you know, the kind of people who are paid, you know, 30 to 40 K a year, who are not on big money and like are probably looking for some sort of social outlet now that society is opening back up and people can come visit again. And they're like, right, we're going to have a get together. Now all of a sudden that get together is going to cost twice as much in terms of like having a few beers.
Yeah.
And people need that social outlet now more than ever.
Students, like
students are being fucking.
Yeah, like imagine the boxes that like you would get, like do you know, like say like a box for the house.
Yeah.
You know, you're not buying 20 beers for yourself. You're not
drinking them 20 beers in one night.
No.
But even at that, right? Like you look at students in Ireland these days now, rents have never been higher.
Yeah.
Like rents are ridiculous. If anyone, our Irish listeners will know because it's been all over the media for the last couple of weeks. The cost of renting and owning a home in Ireland is ridiculous at the moment. And then you've got, so students have to pay rent, most of them, because they can't afford to study from home. Hopefully next year, because hopefully universities will be open again. The fees are now €3,000 a year.
Yeah.
The registration fees. They were what, like 600-700 quid when we started in university? They've pretty much quadrupled in the last, you know, decade and a bit. We're old. and now, like, everything, like, to heat their apartments or their homes is costing more. As you say, the box of bottles for the house is costing twice as much. You know, it really is.
They won't have those displays anymore. Or like,
no, do you know the bottles with the windows?
Bottles on windows and like all above, like the kitchen presses, like.
And like that bit, then they were taking that creativity away from
that was modern art, like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Vincent Van Gogh.
Look. We're not happy with it. And
no. And like, we're not the people it's affecting.
No, like, and that's like, it, like, yeah.
Our drinking habits are not going to change. The price we pay for beer with our beer choices won't be affected.
Yeah, like, the only time we'll ever be affected is, like, those barbecue events or something like that, where it's just going to...
Now it's family events, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But sure, look, that's just the way it is at the moment.
It's BYOB, I'd say, will
it? Yeah, BYOB, fucking B. Yeah. Go get the shy lantern for the communion, just bring your own beer. Fuck it. So... Yeah, that's it. Like, I'm a bit miffed by it. I'd love to know the listeners' takes on the minimum unit price. And, you know, I'd love to get now a few voice messages, a few voice notes in the email there.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think, lads. We might play a few voice notes in the next episode there. thesnowcast@gmail.com. Just to get it in. Come here, what do you think of this beer? Before we get on to it, we're going to do the Pilsner Prowl and something else. We're actually not going to do it on this can. We kind of accidentally drank this as a bridger. But we have the Kinnegar's Donegal Lager there. Just want to own your thoughts on it fairly quickly there.
Oh, it's really nice, isn't it? Like,
I couldn't go without actually I couldn't go without mentioning it.
It was like a lovely little kind of like sweetness or something to it as well. Like, it's kind of
I think that, but that's the thing. I think that full flavor develops when it's unfiltered. This is an unfiltered lager.
Yeah.
And you can tell the difference. Like, obviously, there's a lot more. You can tell it's unfiltered, like the jib of it compared to the last one, you know.
It's a cloudy bastard, isn't it? Yeah.
But then there's a lot more body to the flavor in it. Like,
yeah.
You know.
No, yeah. I really like it, yeah. It's, can't be a good lager, like.
I'd actually, I'd love this in draft now.
Yeah, I would as well, yeah.
And like, she's only 4.5%, so it's in the league of the macros in terms of percentage.
And like, there's no whiff of crisps or anything on there.
No, like, the only whiff of crisps you get is when you're eating them yourself.
Yeah, no. Pure and simple, like, so she is. Do you know what? Let's take a little break here and just enjoy this bastard for a little bit.
And we'll be back to you then with Pilsner Proud Part 2. Right, lads, we're back in the room and we kind of took liberties with this break as we would have done in the pub back in the day.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, this obviously it's not something you do on Zoom because you're kind of like trying to get the recording right and make sure and get the Zoom call, the recording part done in the Zoom so you can relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, sometimes we have a guest as well. Yeah. It's a bit
kind of like get the business out of the way, whereas like, in the pub and certainly here today across the table, it's like the conversation flows and you get on and get on and get on. You're like, oh, actually, we have a podcast to come back to. Like, you know, yeah, that natural flow is, I miss that a lot. So yeah, we're many cans deep now, which is exactly how we like to be lubricated for the podcast. And we're going to do the second iteration of the Pilsner Proud for tonight. So Owen,
konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Hajime mimashite.
Dozo oroshikoi onegaishimasu.
So those of you who might not be familiar with our Japanese overlords, domo arigato. We are drinking, we're going to put a beer that actually it has featured on the podcast in the past when the pubs were open because it's on draft and fill grinds.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beer that we're very fond of. And it is Kirin Ichiban.
Yes, Sensei.
Kirin, premium beer, Kirin Ichiban. Brewing from Oni, the first press will ensure that the refined flavor is always at its purest.
It sounded like you were trying to put on a Japanese accent, but actually all you were doing was just rotating the cans.
So what I was trying to do there was, have you ever seen Kung Fu?
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to do that where, like, you know, obviously the actor is speaking Japanese and his mouth's going like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But then he's like, thank you, that is good.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 45 seconds of silence with your man doing the mouth. And then it's like four words in English for the dub. Like, you know, the comedic genius in Kung Fu is absolutely magnificent.
But this beer is fucking stellar, isn't it?
I haven't had a Kirin Ichiban.
We were just saying off.
So we're drinking Kirin Ichi cans. And I haven't had a Kirin Ichiban. A
little stubby,
before. Yeah, a little stubby. I haven't had one since Phil Grimes. The last time we were in there with Simon Calhoun, a friend of the pod, is the last time I'd say I had a Kirin Ichiban.
Yeah.
He was the devil for just buying you on a Kirin Ichiban.
Yeah.
Whether you wanted one or not. So it's a long time since I've had one, and it's a beer that I have a lot of fond memories with. So I have it built up in my hand ahead. I've only ever drank it in draft. So the first Kirin Ichi can I had, I was a bit like, will it live up to expectation?
And has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that being said, it has to go through the Pilsner Prowl first though.
Okay, let's go for it.
Let's go for the scoring tool. So, Ivorahe and the Ghoulin Jig.
I'd say this could be a, like, if you're like finishing day of work and, like, you know, you're the Phil Grimes was in sight, like, would you be like, you know, and the Kirin Ichiban was, you know, in the line of sight, would you go for it? Like, you know, would those goals settle, like? Or would they get you going, like?
If I, today is Friday, we're recording night.
Mm.
If I had the opportunity to go into Phil Grimes and drink Kirinichi Man, I'd go in and the first thing I'd say to Tom would be, Ichinisan, pints of Kirinichi Man. 3 points. Let's fucking sink them. The Goulin Jig, yeah. She gets the Goulins going. I was thinking about this because, right, if we're comparing it like to other beers, 5 for 16 is 3.33 per can, right? Mm. Is it?
Oh, no, I don't know. Yeah,
3.20 per can.
Yeah.
Right, 3.20 per can is 5 for 16. So we're saying that's the gold standard.
Yeah.
I'm saying 5 for 15. €3 per. I think it's right up there.
And hold on now. Are we talking about, so these are stubbies. Are we talking the 4.40? Like,
but we're talking about 5 for 15 in terms of like, if we're talking about an equivalence in the volume for all beers.
Yeah.
So we standardize the volume.
Yeah. To being 4.
Yeah.
4.40. Yeah. Right.
So I'm going 5 for 15. £3 a can, £2 a yard.
Yeah. I think you're right, because there is that macroness about it, like, you know what I mean? That, like, and as we were saying on the break there, that there is a level of macro respect in the Asian beers, like,
yeah,
you know, there's actually a little kind of like cult following, like, you know. So like, take for instance, like, you're like, when you'd go out for Thai or like an Indian or something like that, like some of those like the Tiger beers, Chang, like their quality, like, you know, they're like
good beers. Yeah, good beers.
I'm not saying their quality in terms of like comparing them to a craft beer, but their quality in terms of like
the compare macros. Them to fucking the Carlsberg or Heineken you get out of a bottle in them places. Yeah, I agree. I think 5 for 15 is about where it's at.
Yeah,
and which is a phenomenal score.
Yeah.
So the Quivering Quench, the inverse Richter scale. What are we thinking? So we're talking about,
oh god, there's a good old quencher on it now. There's a good quencher now altogether.
Yeah, I think it does quite a bit of a job. I'm gonna give it an even 4.
4 on the Richter.
Yeah.
Right.
Purely because I think some good bit we have Bohemian Pilsner or something like that was around 3.9, and I think it's up there with that. I think 4 is a good, really good score for that.
No, I think you're right. Yeah. It's definitely a quencher, like, you know, isn't it? Like, you know, it would settle you, like, and it's one that you'd look forward to, all right, like, you know.
Now, when we talk about the post-pint gas, I think we'll give it a German Das Bass 1S.
Das Bass.
Das Bass.
One second.
What do you think?
One second now, hold on. Yeah, that is Bass, isn't it? Like, Bass.
That's Bass?
Yeah.
Well, I know. I better mark it down on the page here because we'll be looking for this back at some stage, I'm sure. Now, the jib over.
She's a bit jibless.
I think she's flat as a peacock here.
Yeah.
I'd only give her the one jib.
Yeah.
I think that's where she falls down.
Yeah. Do you reckon that's to do with the macroness of it, like?
Yeah.
Do you know
that? And it's like, travelled as well, like.
Yeah. Like, and like, fair enough, like, it obviously has to keep for the travelling, like, you know, but.
Although I think for the European market, they're made in like Dusseldorf or somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I'd give it one jib in the can.
Yeah.
That being said, the pints are lovely looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll give it the one jib, sure.
One jib.
Right, pokeability. In 2 minutes, sum up, less than 2 minutes, sum up the pokeability.
It's not really pokeable, like, it's a bit more...
It's a beer for an occasion.
Yeah.
It's a beer for a specific occasion, and it's a kind of like... We go to Phillies, we don't look for Kyunichi Man because we go up to the rotation taps, you know. And right, it's super sessionable. You could smash through 8-10 pints of them.
Mm. But do you know, it'd be good for a stag in Carlingford.
It'd be good for a stag anywhere. It'd be great yeah, for a stag anywhere.
It would. Or Carrick and Shannon. Like.
Okay, so it's out of 100,000. I'd say we give her 8,000.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a very decent beer.
Maybe 8,012.
8,012, yeah, just to round it off. It's a very decent beer, but it's not a beer that you're going to... it's not a beer above all beers.
No.
Very good. Right, lads, we're 6 cans deep and the dog's at my feet. Here we go. We've done 2 pills of plows. We've talked about minimum unit pricing in the off licenses. And we're going to go to the on licenses. When I talk about, we're recording this today, May 21st. The Brits are back in the pubs.
May 22nd now.
Oh yeah, sure. It's gone past midnight. May 22nd. The Brits are back in the pubs. We've got May Z down at the feet. And we're looking at June 8th for the outdoor pubs opening on.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Great.
Yeah.
We love to see it. We'll be there. But we looked at, and actually Gavin McCarthy on social media for the last episode we did where we looked at social media questions was talking about reintroducing Pint Watch to the equation. I think it was a good thing to suggest, and almost like the 3-4 weeks that we haven't recorded, Pint Watch kind of came back big on the scene. Various sources gave different guesses of dates and stuff like that. It's impossible to predict, but the joy of Pint Watch is we try and predict. Not when we have a pint outdoors, but when can we sit in a high stool at a bar, free of restriction, have a pint?
Well, I'd like to firstly look at the outdoor, right?
Yeah.
So, bring her back to June 8th, right? How do you see her going? How do you see this June 8th, like?
Depends on the weather.
Yeah.
It really depends on the weather.
Like, but how do you think that there will be places that will be equipped for an all weather outdoor kind of?
Well, there was a grant recently, wasn't there?
Yeah.
For places to do it up, and there was a bit of controversy when the grant was coming out because I don't think, to use that terrible phrase, wet pubs were eligible for the grant. It was associated with food and stuff. So, I think. I'm not sure. I actually don't know the outcome, whether or not they eventually were eligible for the grant or not. It would be a bit of a joke if they weren't, because now there's no longer the distinction between a gastro pub and a wet pub in terms of restrictions lifting.
They're a pub.
A pub is a pub is a pub is a pub.
Yeah.
Which is fucking dead right.
Yeah.
But I think if there was a grant for businesses to improve their capacity to retain people for outdoor drinking during a pandemic where being outdoor drastically reduces the risk.
Yeah.
You know, they should be available to all.
Yeah.
So I'd say that much. And I don't know if it was. Maybe it was in the meantime. Like, who knows? Who knows, like?
No. Yeah, who knows?
But how do I think it'll go? Like, I think it'll be quite successful because, like, there's, 4.5 million people in Ireland.
Yeah.
They're currently vaccinating 250,000 people a week. We're 2 weeks away. So you're talking about another 500,000 people getting a vaccine. So you're talking about the bones of 60% of the population being vaccinated by then. So the way I look at it, I think it'll be a success.
I think it will be a success if local councils chip in with the success of it. Like,
you're fucking dead right.
We need street closures at night
yeah,
like at places. We, like, you know, we need picnic tables and stuff like that being provided.
And we need the rates on businesses, small businesses, pubs and restaurants who put the seats on the streets. We need the additional rates for those to be dropped.
Yeah.
Let the fucking people trade.
We need public toilets available, like port cabins been set up, like in areas, like
let the people piss
like,
plus, you know, as well, like the big issue, remember when we did Point Watch first, we were like, how the fuck will the toilets work?
Yeah.
In some of the pubs we talked about, Jacob Welch, you're like, how could you socially distance in the toilet there? The way you're bang on, because a public toilet, a little port cabin style toilet on the street side at those, during those hours, would be ideal, because that is taken completely out of it, because they're individual pods.
Yeah. Now, maybe it's a little simplistic, like who empties it, blah blah blah. Like, you know, like what's the story there? Maybe that's a little simplistic. But if
councils want their towns and cities to be vibrant,
yeah,
they need to put in place the infrastructure.
Exactly. So yeah.
They should do all that.
I know. If building sites can do it, like, well surely, like, yeah, the councils and stuff can do it, like, so.
And they'll complain when people are pissing on a wall.
Yeah, exactly. So give them someone to piss. Exactly. Yeah. I think we saw it like in Dublin during the week with like Portobello Plaza or whatever being like completely blocked off because of antisocial behaviour. But like which just ended up being like public urination and stuff. But like it was
because put the infrastructure in place, like, yeah, I know.
And put bins in place, you know, things like that in place, like, and like double up on like those collections in those spots as well. Like, you know, like put money behind this, because businesses have suffered, and like all you're going to end up doing, like, instead of like putting like useless money behind grants or whatever, like, you know, support the businesses through the ways that you can in the community in providing those services.
Ultimately, like, make it really, really easy for us to go and have an outdoor pint in the town centre.
Yeah, yeah. And do make it accessible for people with disabilities. Obviously, make sure that like these tables don't take up the whole path, like the whole path. Have a dedicated pathway through the center that two wheelchairs can pass each other, and you should be fine then, like, you know, as in, it doesn't take like huge planning to think of these things. Like, it's literally like, you know, having designated areas. Like, actually, what you need to do is you need to get the people who organize electric picnic, who organize like these big events that like are aware of all of these regulations, and like to get those guys on board and get those guys to plan it, like, you know.
But like, if they can do it in Lisbon, if they can do, like, this is outside of pandemic times, if it's the norm in Lisbon, if it's the norm in Rome, if it's the norm in Madrid, if it's the norm in Barcelona, why can't it become the norm here?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
the only deterrent is the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the norm in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And their weather isn't much better than ours.
No, no.
So, yeah, I think you're...
And, like, I think we oversell the weather thing as well a bit. Like, I know it's absolutely rotten the last few days, but, like, in the majority, like, it's not too bad.
It's
like,
bearable.
It's dry a lot of the time.
Throw a fucking extra jumper on.
Throw an extra jumper on, exactly. Like, you know, it, like, for the cold and stuff, like, for the cold, like, it's the wet mainly is the main issue, like, and, like, for the cold, yes, throw another jumper on. But, like, you can also, like, circumvent the cold as well by having, like, you know, if grants have been put in place, like, you know, to have, like, big umbrellas and stuff like that, like, you know, put those in place, and, like, Irish people are just going to have to get used to it as well, like, for this summer, like, you know.
But I think as well, like, I look at places like Waterford. I look at Waterford in particular, because obviously it's the closest city to me. It's the city you grew up in and stuff. And I look at it and I think Waterford complains about, you know, not being respected, not getting its fair share and all. Like, I would implore on Waterford Council, help yourself, like.
Yeah.
Because there's a wonderful opportunity here for Waterford to become an incredibly vibrant post-pandemic city. Yeah.
But that's it. Imagine.
It just takes a bit of initiative. It just takes a bit of, I mean, like,
unconventional thinking Irish-wise, but a bit of like taking inspiration from a Lisbon, from a Barcelona, you know.
But like that's the thing, like say, like I have a stag later on this year or whatever, and like, you know, you're like, that's it, like that's the aim of like any of these big events, like later on in the year. You're looking for places that are safe, that are going to be like accessible, that are going to be like have like access to like all of these facilities, and like that are able to cater to like big groups and stuff like that, like in an outdoor venue that are going to be dry, like, you know. So like if you can hit all of those targets, then like you're going to be absolutely flying it, like, you know. I just think it's an absolute no-brainer that if you can invest in that and like ramp it up, it's going to be like, I think Blind Boy in one of his podcasts maybe 2 weeks ago, like he was giving out about Limerick City Council there in the middle of the first lockdown, when they started to reopen for restaurants, and like instead of investing in like outdoor space for restaurants in Limerick, they decided, oh, let's do a big art piece in order to entice people to come back in. So they created this huge, big, giant table and chairs. Like, I think it was like this, like, I don't know, 20-foot long table, and like, and these like huge, like 8-foot tall chairs. And so they had those like in the middle of a square in Limerick. And it was taking up everything, and they had like forks and spoons, like these huge forks and spoons tied to the lampposts in Limerick. They decided not to put knives there because of the association with like Stab City. And then because they put that huge big art piece in the center, they blocked like people who are actually could provide outdoor dining from like putting stuff in the area where that outdoor stuff. So it's just like, lads, little bit of common sense thinking, yeah, like, is all you need, like, you know. So
I find that's the challenge, isn't it, really? Like, so I think from in terms of like, how's the outdoor going to go, like, it's totally up to the locality themselves. Like, it's totally up to the people, the councillors who are elected, the councils, to just fucking facilitate it, make it easy, like stop putting barriers in place to people going and having a good time and enjoying some food and beer and grub outside. Like, facilitate it. And then in terms of Pint Watch, indoor pints, like, I don't think we're going to get indoor pints until 80% of the adult population here is vaccinated. So you're probably looking at the probably August bank holiday weekend before that's the case.
Yeah.
At the current rate.
Yeah.
Trajected out. And then it's simply down to variants. Like, if this Indian variant takes hold, the WHO have said that they believe all vaccines are fairly effective against all variants. So like, if that's the case, we've a great chance for August, I think.
Yeah.
And I think the way the government have done it so far is they've looked at bank holiday weekends the Tuesday after for opening things, because it'll be quiet. So I think whatever the August bank holiday weekend is, I'm calling Pint Watch 2021 the Tuesday after the August bank holiday weekend.
That's probably a good show for indoor pints now for the August bank holiday. Let me get my calendar here. One sec.
My rationale is that's just the way they've done it. They've picked Tuesdays after bank holidays for increasing the capacity to socialise. And I think I can see the rationale behind that. People complain and say, why wouldn't they do it for the bank holiday weekend? The reason why they wouldn't do it is obvious, because they're trying to, what they don't want to do is open up for the bank holiday weekend, everyone goes together, and then there's a spike in cases, and it's like, oh, you opened up, you know. I can understand the rationale behind that. And I think looking at the history of how they've done it, that's what they will do. I just really hope, for the sake of the businesses, that they intend on doing it for, that they do two things for these pubs and restaurants or whatever, mainly pubs. First thing I hope to do is, I hope to give them that date, whether it is the Tuesday after bank holiday or not, with sufficient time to allow breweries to keg and to allow the bars to order in the kegs and stock them. The second thing I really hope to do is that they offer a guarantee to bars that any investment they have to make to get ready for that opening date, that if the pandemic means that they can't open at that time, that they won't lose money in doing so, getting themselves ready.
Yeah.
That's what I'd hope would be guaranteed, because this sector has taken enough of a battering that it doesn't need any more. Like, you see, we've heard of and know of pubs closing in Waterford and other parts of the country. Like, you know, we don't want to lose more. So let's protect them and make sure that they're there to open when, like, as we say, like, we both work in the healthcare system. Like, it's not been a fucking great time to work there. So we want these social outlets and releases when it's safe to do so. So to make sure they're fucking there. Because if all the pubs go out of business, sure, we're fucked then.
Yeah. So the date that you have stated is the 3rd of August. Tuesday, the 3rd of August.
A fine day.
I am going to make a prediction for July.
Oh, July, please. I'm on my knees.
The 6th of August.
He's going 4 weeks earlier.
I'm going 4 weeks earlier. I'm going 4 weeks after the June
opening.
The June opening. I know it's ballsy.
But you're a ballsy type of man.
I think there's pressure on. I think the summer season will be nearly over by August. And I think there's a lot
schools will be off.
I think there's a lot of rural pubs that, you know, I think there's places that have no outdoor dining, or outdoor facilities that are going to struggle.
I think as well, a lot of it is case driven at the moment, but hospitalizations have come way down with vaccinating vulnerable people. So I think if that trend continues, I don't think we'll see case numbers as big a driver of restrictions. I think it'll be a lot more linked to hospitalization and stuff. So I think I'm going on the trajectory I think the authorities here will go on at the moment. But I can see how your scenario pans out too.
I'm just hoping against hope, you know what I mean?
Oh, Jesus, bye. If they open the pubs tomorrow, I'll be there tomorrow this Saturday. It'll be Jesus. Right, sure, look, that's the crack. Find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Smellcast and all those. We are, we said it last thing, we've got a big announcement coming.
We still do have the big,
that's the announcement is still to come. We just have done absolutely nothing about it in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's coming down the tracks, and we look forward to bringing you along with that. Oh, and any parting words for listeners before we crack open another can?
No, I'm so glad that we're back together and we can fist bump and
lick each other's faces.
the usual college kind of style stuff, and drink cans together. But lads, enjoy it, and enjoy the pubs when they reopen.
Treasure them, they are treasures,
and support everyone.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.